It is time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by technical editor and educator Lori Fisher and Josh Cosman, music critic. This is KALW San Francisco.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Mr. Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody. Hope you had a lovely Christmas or Hanukkah, as the case may be. And welcome to Minds Over Matter. We have a lovely show for you, and we hope you can give an hour of your life to us, and we'll try to repay it in some entertainment. Anyway, as I said, welcome, and I just want to remind you that we have two numbers that you can join, and those are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134, or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. You can also email us if you choose to do that. And that address is that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. So mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can also hear us in live stream at kalw.org or your radio. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today, also at kalw.org and other places, but start with KALW, that would be appreciated. So just once more, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. So that is us, and we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And as soon as I pull up the introduction, we will start, if I can find it. So let's see. I'm running a little late today, as you may have guessed.
I think they guessed.
They guessed? Okay.
No, they didn't guess.
They didn't guess?
Yeah, well, the audience knows nothing.
A true behind-the-scenes story.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just sent it to you like 5 minutes ago. It should be in the top of your inbox.
Yeah. Here we go. So Joshua Cosman will never achieve inbox zero, but taking a small victory where he can, he heads into 2026 with his files safely backed up.
This is true.
Good for you.
Yeah.
As long as that's all you have backed up.
That's all I got. And after 12 days of Christmas, 8 days of Hanukkah, and 1 day of boxing, Lori Fisher is declaring a holiday-free, gift-free, latke-free weekend. After that, he'll take some time off and start holidaying again next week. I hate to be the guy who fact-checks people's intros, but we're not through with 12 days of Christmas yet.
Oh,
no.
When does it end?
New Year's, isn't
12
it?
Days after Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, I always okay. So here's my background. I thought it led into Christmas.
No. It's Christmas. Wow. December 25th is the first day.
Yeah. Well, okay. Please edit my thing. And
maybe, I should have looked. I'm sorry.
So even by next Saturday, I still won't be over.
No.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, with apologies, well, not for the intro, people are saying that Dana Rodriguez is the greatest and most talented moderator on any NPR station in the United States. Just not enough people.
Right. All right. And that is us. And we get into the questioning with Joshua Cosman.
All right. Let's start with a movie and literature question. Many of the films that have won the Oscar for Best Picture are based on novels, some by famous writers, some by less famous writers. I've got a list of 12 authors here, each of whom wrote a book that was turned into a movie that won the Oscar for Best Picture. And you tell me what the movie is. So if I say Charles Dickens, you're going to say Oliver. That's a tenuous example. That's why I used it as the example. Most of these are you know, not one step removed like that from the novel to the musical to the movie. Okay, so mm-hmm. here's 12 of them. These are not in chronological order, as you will see. John Ball, Vicky Baum, Pierre Boulle, Henry Fielding, Judith Guest, Laura Z. Hobson, Thomas Keneally, Richard Llewellyn, Robin Moore, Michael Ondaatje, Jan Struther, and Vikas Swarup. Each of these people wrote a novel that became the basis for a Best Picture Oscar-winning movie. Once more, here they are: John Ball, Vicky Baum, Pierre Boulle, Henry Fielding, Judith Guest, Laura Z. Hobson, Thomas Keneally, Richard Llewellyn, Robin Moore, Michael Ondaatje, Jan Struther, and Vikas Swarup.
No Margaret Mitchell, no softballs in her, huh, Josh?
Well, no, it's true. They're not
in chronological order, but they are in alphabetical order.
They're in alphabetical order, yeah. And in answer to your question, Laurie, there are a lot of them, and most of them are softballs. So in honor of Dana, I tried to include some of the tough ones that only he will know.
That is true, because I won't. There's many I don't know. I know two for sure.
And go ahead, Laurie.
All right.
Well, Fielding wrote Tom Jones, which was Best Picture, some back in, when was it, 60-something?
63, I think.
Thanks. A book
I actually taught when I was teaching high school was Judith Guest wrote Ordinary People, directed by Robert Redford.
That's exactly right.
I don't think it's read or watched anymore, but it's quite good.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know of it as a book. I only know of it as the basis for the movie, which I still have never seen. What do you got, Dana?
Well, Vicky Baum wrote Grand Hotel.
Yes, she did. Wow. That was news to me until I looked it up.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And later wrote a book called Hotel Berlin that was also made into a movie, but she was obsessed with hotels, I guess. And let's see, Jan Struther wrote Mrs. Miniver.
Yes. Well done. I'm only laughing because he's going to go for the really the most obscure ones on the list.
Be sure you bell yourself, Dana. These are good.
But yep. Pierre Boulle,
yes,
wrote The Bridge on the River Kwai.
So he did. And okay, good. Well, let's leave the rest out there. Again, these are writers whose works of fiction were turned into Oscar-winning movies for Best Picture. So the ones we have left are John Ball, Laura Z. Hobson, Thomas Keneally, Richard Llewellyn, Robin Moore, Michael Ondaatje, and Vikas Swarup.
And I think we have some lines open. So if you'd like to give us a call, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, we'd love to talk to you with a question or answer, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255. And Laura, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I read a little piece about Hamilton, the play, and thought of Josh and you guys in the show. Hamilton not only won a Tony Award, but it also won a Pulitzer Prize for Best Drama. And it turns out there's 10 other plays that are musicals on Broadway that won the Pulitzer Prize for Best Drama. That's what I'm looking for you guys to get.
Ten of them. Wow.
10 of them. And to me, 8 of them are super well-known. Two of them more recent and less well-known to me. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And so I'll give you 2 each if you can get them.
Yeah, I got 2, but not a third. So
okay.
One is...
vanished.
Well, now they've both vanished from my head. They were right there a second ago. One is the Gershwin musical, of The I Sing. That's what it is.
Yes, that was
The I Sing.
That was the first one in 1942. Right. Excellent.
And the other one is Rent.
Yes, 1996. Okay. All right.
Those Dana, are the two I know.
Okay.
So give me the question once more.
The question is that eight other musicals on Broadway, which won a Tony Award for Best Musical, also won a Pulitzer Prize for Best Drama. And we have three so far. Hamilton was the clue, and Josh got Rent and of The I Sing. And
how about Guys and Dolls?
It did not.
How does Succeed in Business?
That one did in 1962.
How to Succeed won a Pulitzer for Drama?
I knew it won a Pulitzer. Wow. I didn't care about the Tony, though.
And a couple of the others seem more How to Succeed-ish than they seem Rent-ish. I don't know if that is a correct formulation. Sure. You got another one, Dana or Josh?
I got to think about this a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it out there. So we have four of them now. Hamilton was one I gave you. Rent of The I Sing and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Won the Pulitzer for Best Drama and the Tony for Best Musical. And all but two were before the year 2000, if that helps.
Now, wait a minute. If you're counting Hamilton, that's one of 11. It's Hamilton and 10 more.
Yeah, Hamilton is one of 11.
Got it. Okay.
One guess, which is probably wrong. The Most Happy Fellow?
No, Most Happy Fellow did not win the Pulitzer.
Okay. All right.
Very good.
Lesser never wins anything.
Oh, yes. What do you mean? He was just seen in business. Yeah.
Oh, is that Lesser? I didn't even know. Lesser.
It is. Oh.
Showing my ignorance on Maine. Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So happy New Year, 2026, and happy New Egyptian year 6267. Wow. Many, many, many years. That's beautiful. Also like to thank KLW for forecasting Science Friday. Yesterday, it had a lot of very beautiful information about black holes, dark matter, and everything I've been calling you for many, many months. All right. So the question I have right now about feminism, because the way women treated many parts of the world is awful, horrible. Not in Egypt. Egyptian women had the right to vote, right to marry and divorce their husbands, do all kinds of things that women today, many women today, don't have. Buy and sell property. And even divorce husband, woman to take another divorce husband. That was for 5,000 years ago. What are the two? Sorry, it's a political bit, but we have to get it open. So what is that? What is the worst country where women get not as well treated? Two mostly. Can anybody name them?
I'm sorry, you're looking for the countries in the world where women are the worst treated?
Yes. Two, just two. Performance.
But based on what? I mean,
would forbid girls even going to school, period.
Oh, and Afghanistan, I guess.
Very good. And what is the second one? Not as bad, but still.
Saudi Arabia.
Actually, Saudi Arabia not as bad. And, you know, with that new prince, woman couldn't drive in Saudi Arabia until 2 years ago. Mm. Women drove in Egypt from 1920s. Yeah. Now, the second one is Iran. And
Iran.
Young ladies. Yeah. Two beautiful young ladies were killed. What is called the banner police or the something. It is, they just, you know, they, any that woman, two of them were arrested because part of their hair was showing. Women are beautiful. And in my University of Cairo, we had swimming pool. Women wear swimming suits. Some of them even wear bikinis, and that was the 1960s. Happy holidays. Look forward to
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
2026. Thank you very much. Have a
Thank you very much.
Day. Bye-bye. Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do have a couple of lines open if you'd like to give us a call, because we'd love to hear from you, of course. With a question or answer. And those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. All right. I think it's my turn, isn't it?
So, yes, it is.
Finally. And all right, let me start with a couple of small questions here. What are the two U.S. states that have the most dry counties? And dry counties, I mean you cannot sell liquor in those counties. What are the two U.S. states that have the most dry counties?
Mm. That's interesting. Are they in the South, or do you not want to tell us?
Well, I don't think I'm going to break it down for you like that.
Okay.
I mean, my first guess would be like Utah.
No, strangely enough, not Utah. Okay.
Huh. How about?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. And I wouldn't be places like Kentucky, right? Which is home of bourbon. What state was prohibition have lasted or come back? How about Oklahoma?
Oh,
not Oklahoma.
All right.
Yeah, I'm with you on the geography of it. I mean, I want to guess Wyoming, if not Utah, then.
No.
All right.
I don't know. I think it'd be a state with a heavy Christian influence in politics. That would be my guess. Yeah, less Wild West. Although Oklahoma,
right.
I don't know. All right. You don't want to give us a hint, huh?
No.
All right.
We don't know.
The two U.S. states that have the most dry counties? A dry county is considered a county where you cannot sell liquor. They obviously can't stop you from drinking, but you can't sell liquor there.
Does California have any? Do you know?
No, not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
All right. Of the 50 most common adjectives in English, there are only 4 that are 9 letters or over. Of the 50 most common adjectives in English, there are only 4 that are 9 letters or over.
How about beautiful? Oh, sorry, Josh.
No, that's fine. Yeah. That was like we were on the same wavelength. That was my first guess.
Nope, that is not one of the 50.
Well, then that was Josh's guess. Okay?
Yeah, right.
So beautiful is not in the top 50, huh?
It is
wow.
Not.
Okay. And ugly is too short.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
What do people want to say?
I will say that there are three of the words are 9 letters, and last one is 13 letters.
13 letters. So it's going to probably have a prefix in there, you know,
anti-disestablishmentarian.
I don't think that's in the 50 most common adjectives. The 50 most common adjectives in English, there are only 4 that are 9 letters or over.
Hmm. All right. We'll think about it.
Yeah. All right. Think about that. And I'll give I'll give you something harder. And of the 50 most assigned books in high schools in the United States, and I'm talking about
novels,
either novels or nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
So of the 50 most required books in high schools, what are the 6 most common not originally written in English?
Ooh.
Of the 50 most assigned books in American high schools, what are the 6 most common not originally written in English?
I mean, I'm sort of being a wise ass, but also semi-serious. Does the Bible get a
set? No, it's not. Where it's not the Bible. I mean, okay. I understand.
I mean, yeah. No. All right.
How about things fall apart?
Ooh. No, that's a good guess.
Oh, that actually shocks me because that is taught a lot. Okay.
What else do they teach in high schools nowadays?
Well,
they're not teaching Ethan Frome anymore, I'll tell you that.
Well, it was written in English, so it wouldn't.
I know. I know. I'm just trying to orient myself.
I'll give you a slight help here. And that all but one are novels. Okay?
Sure.
You know, they don't teach the long Russian novels like they may be used to. So if one's on there, I'd be suspicious if the Brothers Karamazov or War and Peace, those aren't taught, except in tiny little excerpts.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there to think about.
No.
How about A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich?
Nope.
All right.
Do they ever read like the Kafka in high school, The Metamorphosis?
That is not it's not in the top six, but it's on the general list. So
okay,
you know.
Back in the 60s and 70s, Steppenwolf was taught, but I don't think that's lasted. So that's not on there, right, Dana?
No.
It would have been in 1977.
All right. Huh.
We're going to think about this
more, if you don't mind. Yeah. What are the two U.S. states with the most dry counties? And dry counties where they cannot sell liquor. And of the 50 most common adjectives in English, there are only four that are nine letters or over. And the final question was, of the 50 most assigned books in high schools in the United States, what are the six most common not originally written in English?
How about 100 Years of Solitude?
Oh.
No.
No. That's a really good guess.
That's long. Yeah, but it's long for high school.
It is.
There's nothing on this list that hasn't been around for a while that you have not heard of.
They don't teach the Three Musketeers in high school, do they?
No.
Well, that's part of the problem right there.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hey, you know, the dry county question is interesting because the number of counties really varies by state, not necessarily by population. True. But I'm still not coming up with a good guess for it. So for the novels taught in high school, not originally in English, All Quiet on the Western Front.
That is one.
Good work. All right.
All right.
Good work. Nice work.
Okay. Since Legos probably plagued a lot of households this past week with gifts and stuff, I thought I'd ask a couple questions about Legos. Does anybody know when they were introduced into the U.S.?
Ooh.
They're not that old. Certainly not 100 years. And so
no,
I think
not,
it was
not a.
Was it after World War II? I think it was.
Yes.
So I'll say the 50s.
No.
No, after that or before?
Yeah, a little later than that.
Okay, 60, because I played with them when I was a little kid.
Same year.
What year was that?
In the 60s. If I recall.
That sounds right.
They were introduced in 1961, and I'm pretty sure that we were playing with them in my family in 63 or 64.
Yeah.
Same here.
Now, there are a lot more of them than there used to be, and I found out that Lego uses the word element because it's not just bricks and windows and wheels, but there are all kinds of other things that fall under the Lego thing now. How many Lego elements do you think are in existence? Is it 875 billion, 935 billion, or 1.1 trillion?
I mean, you're considering an element, an individual piece, correct?
Yes.
Then I'll go with the trillion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to guess high because.
I mean, any individual kid might have 100,000, right? The kids come with 1,000.
Yeah, I probably had 1,000 pieces when I was a kid. So.
And I think also, we were right.
Give yourself a bell. It's 1.1 trillion.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Give yourself a pat on the back for those great wrong answers. Those were very specifically chosen in a very skillful way. I really appreciate it. I wanted you to know your work has not gone for naught.
They were tempting.
Thank you. Thank you. And one last quick question. There's a pattern that all of us see pretty much every day that's numeric, alpha, 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 numeric, numeric, numeric.
Mm.
So number, alpha, 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 number, number, number. Anybody
yeah,
know
that,
what that is?
I do. That's California license plates. Mm.
Good for you.
All right. And they've been like that since 1980. How about this one? Number, 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 alpha, 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 number.
Hmm.
Again, number, 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 alpha, 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 number.
Hmm. That's California license plates in your rearview mirror as you're driving.
Or if you don't see too well.
No, but you're on the right track there. That's the new format for license plates in California beginning 2026.
Really?
They're running out of our current ones.
I know. I've been tracking the when the first digit switched over from like 4 to 5, it caught my eye, and ever since then I've been sort of, you know, logging all the license plates I see when they switch over from the one number to the next. And I know that we're late in the nines. I didn't know what they were going to do next.
My husband and I just got new cars, and we thought we might get this in the switchover because we got it late in the year, and no, we just missed it. So
what's your first letter?
First letter is.
I mean, are we up to 9Z yet, or
W, I think, or V.
Oh, so
are they issued in order, in numerical order?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, that's it. I didn't know.
I've
that.
Always assumed that. Because I track them, and you can see when it goes from, like, you know, 8A to 8B to 8C.
So a car that has 8 in its license plate is newer than one that has 3 as its first number?
Well, the license plate is newer. The car may not be.
Nice. Kind of like Social Security numbers are by geographic region, I guess.
Well, we got our tag stolen one time, and we had to get new license, or we got the whole plate stolen. We had to get a new plate. So now it was a much later plate than the car reflected.
All right. Interesting.
Thank you very much.
45 years with that format. And now we've got a new one. Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks.
Thanks, Rita.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye-bye.
And let's see, we have some guesses online here, so I want to show you a couple of these. Carlton is guessing for the one that of the 50 most common books not written in English in American high schools, is guessing Diary of Anne Frank, and that is correct.
Ooh,
that is
course.
The one that is not a novel. Mm-hmm. So there's your bell.
That's good.
Tim is wondering about the long adjectives, adventurous. He guesses adventurous and treacherous. And no, I'm afraid not. Neither one of those. So that was an adventurous and treacherous guess. And Carlton is also wondering about the prince. No, people do not read Machiavelli in schools anymore, I guess.
The little prince they might read.
And let's see. And Deborah is saying that Michael Ondaatje wrote The English Patient.
That is correct. Good job.
There we go. All right. Thank you. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning, afternoon, and all that fun stuff. It's Sparky and Maddie here in Connecticut.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
We got 5 inches of snow last night. It looks pretty nice and white out there.
Wow. 5 inches. That's a coating. Way to go.
How's the weather?
Yeah. The weather outside is frightful. Anyway. all right. Dry counties data. How about Alabama and Georgia?
Neither one.
Huh. Louisiana, perhaps?
Nope.
Hmm. All right. Moving on. Nine letter adjective. How about dangerous?
No.
Ooh, that's good.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. So now I'm going to swoop in on the Pulitzer Prize ones. A Chorus Line?
Yes, Chorus Line in 1976. That gets right. A bell. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, and it's got to be one of these. How about West Side Story?
No, West Side Story did not win the Pulitzer.
Ah, all right. All right, it's got to be one of these three. How about Oklahoma?
Yes, Oklahoma was a special Pulitzer Prize, which I'm counting. Very good.
Good.
King and I?
No, not the King and I.
Or Sound of Music?
Not the Sound of Music.
Or at least we covered Richard Rodgers and Marvin Hamlisch.
You're getting close.
Yeah, and that's all I have. So that's all we got. All right. Good night, all.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I should also point out that Laurel Engenberger guesses Thomas Connelly wrote Schindler's List.
That is correct. All and right. just to be precise about it, he wrote a novel called Schindler's Ark, which was then the basis for the movie Schindler's List.
All right. Yeah. There we go. Okay.
Good.
And Josh, I think it's your turn.
Oh, all right. So periodically, Rolling Stone magazines puts out a list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. The most recent one was in 2023. And all I want to know from you is what were the first and last albums on that list in alphabetical order? Leaving out numbers and articles. So actually not A Love Supreme, which is on the list, but is alphabetized under L. These are the first and last alphabetical.
So not by the name of the group. So it's not.
No, ABBA. Right. No,
not yeah, ABBA and not ZZ ABBA. Top.
I can't guess ZZ Top then?
Yeah. No, correct. No, this is by the name of the album.
Would Abbey Road be first?
It sure would, man.
All right.
I thought that would be
thank you for that.
The last one is a little harder.
Well, does Dana own the last one? Or do I?
I can't say.
Well, I know, but would you guess we do? Like it is in our, where we would have listened to music?
I'm going to guess not. I think it's not in your personal collection, either one of y'all.
So go over the
question. So this is the Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums of all time in its most recent iteration, which was 2023. What were the first and last albums on the list in alphabetical order? Abbey Road, as Lori said, it was the first alphabetically. What was the last alphabetically?
Last. And it's never the name of the band or singer.
Well, it may or may not be, but it's, I mean, that's not what we're looking for. If I don't know that ZZ Top ever made an album called ZZ Top, but if they had, that would have been,
that would legit. Win.
That would win, but, double, but it double, isn't it.
The double Z would definitely put it.
Yeah. Back. But what I mean is,
yeah,
I mean, I'll tell you in this case, it's not the name of the band. It's
could you, okay. So we're talking about the last one on the list now.
Correct. Well, neither is Abbey Road. Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
All right.
All right. We got a lot of dead air. We got to think.
All right. We'll think about that. Let's go to a call.
Good question.
Hello? Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
This is Sandy in Oakland.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Dry counties, yes. Pennsylvania because of the Amish.
No, not Pennsylvania. I'm not saying they're not dry counties in any of these states. I mean, yes, they're just not. It's not the two states with the most dry counties. That's all.
Okay. And then the next one is novels that were not taught in schools that were not originally in English was like Water for Chocolate.
No, not that either.
Good guess.
It is a good guess.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your
call. I don't think like Water for Chocolate is taught much in high school.
But wait a minute. This is outside my area, but you said, Lori, you guessed 100 Years of Solitude and we breezed right past it because it was wrong because it was, among other things, too long. But aren't there shorter Garcia Marquez, like the Love in the Time of Cholera or
yes.
something else like it? What are they? I have never read anything of Garcia Marquez. So
Well, I think that is one. So let's
that guess is definitely one. But yeah. Do they teach that in high school?
I don't think so. You know,
yeah.
Don't.
All right.
Let's hold up. I'm almost for sure there's going to be one in Spanish. And yep. that's what I'm trying to go through there. And they're all novels, all the four that are left.
That's right.
Novels,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Is your discussion over now?
Yes.
Let's quickly run through the questions that we have out, okay? Oh, sure. John, we'll start with you.
All right. I'm looking for the best picture Oscar-winning movies that are based on novels by the following writers: John Ball, Laura Z. Hobson, Richard Llewellyn, Robin Moore, and Vikas Swarup. John Ball, Laura Z. Hobson, Richard Llewellyn, Robin Moore, Vikas Swarup. I'm just going to add as a hint now, since we're halfway through, two of those five could be guessable without knowing anything about the writers in question, just from their names. And then the first and last alphabetically albums on the Rolling Stones list of 500 greatest albums of all time, Abbey Road is first alphabetically, which is last.
I should point out at this point that Peter guessed that Richard Llewellyn is How Green Was My Valley.
That is correct. And that was one of the ones I was just referring to.
All right. And you are done here?
I am done. I am out of here. And I've had enough of this.
I am looking for plays that on Broadway won the Tony for Best Musical and also won the Pulitzer Prize for Best Drama. And we have five left, I think.
Yeah, well, the ones that we have so far. So
we have A V.I. Singh, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, A Chorus Line, Rent, Hamilton, which is the one I gave, and Oklahoma.
So they have to have won both the Tony and the Pulitzer Prize.
That's correct. And two of them are before the year 2000, and two of them are after. I don't know if that helps at all.
Yeah, that doesn't add up, but yeah. Let it pass.
Okay. So how many doesn't that make five? Three of them are before the year 2000.
Okay.
If that math helps. And the three before, one of them is a little obscure, and one of them is super well-known, like big time.
All right. And I am looking for the two U.S. states with the most dry counties. A dry county is where you cannot sell liquor. You can't stop people from drinking, but you can't sell liquor there. So what two U.S. states have the most dry counties? And of the 50 most common adjectives in English, there are only four that are nine letters or over.
How about incredible?
No.
Ooh.
Of the 50 most common adjectives in English, there are only four that are nine letters or over. I will say that three of them are nine letters, and one is 13 letters. And of the 50 most assigned books in American high schools, what are the six most common not originally written in English? And so far we have Diary of Anne Frank and All Quiet on the Western Front, both of which I read in high school, I think. So
here's a guess on the novels. I'm not sure, but I think House on Mango Street was written in Spanish and then translated. Is that one?
No, it is not on that list.
Ah.
So
it's a great book, Sandra Cisneros.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Sacramento Slim here.
Hi.
Hey. Yeah.
I got a quick answer that I'm surprised no one got before on the state with the most counties dry, and that would be Texas. Probably more than all the rest put together.
Nope.
Ooh.
Nope.
I can't be wrong. Texas has 254 counties and 251 are dry.
Well, not according, I don't know, not according to I forgot who I got this from, but not according to the map that I consulted.
Wow. We'll have the fact checkers check. It sounds like you might be from there.
Well, yeah. I lived all over West Texas, and I never lived in a dry county until I started teaching. Okay, I've got a quick math question. We're ending the year of 2025, and I was going to ask, as a number, what is the significance of the number 2025?
You don't want, you don't want to give us a hint, huh?
I will say that it won't happen again for 91 years, and the last time it happened was in 1936.
So it's every 91 years.
No, so 1936 would be 89, I think, so.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You're right.
All right. It has something to do with adding the numbers or factoring them? Would that would be right to do that?
I would say factoring would work. Yeah. All right.
Hmm.
Well, that's fun.
Wait a minute. Does it have anything to do with a mathematical... Wait a minute.
Is this the square? I got it. It's two squares multiplied.
Yeah. Right.
Nine.
Well, that happens to be true. It also is a perfect square.
Okay. So explain what that is. What's a perfect square?
45 squared. 45 times 45.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The next one, 46 times 46, will be 2116. And I don't think anyone listening here is going to be alive then. So.
Oh, you will.
We're only able to celebrate that for four more days, so.
I think he's right because Keith Richards doesn't listen to the podcast, the show.
That's very good.
And what makes it a perfect square as opposed to an imperfect square?
Well, I guess perfect is really not necessary if you say it's a square of a number.
Okay.
45 squared. Of course, 45 has the factors 3 and 5, so it would be... 3 to the 4th times 5 to the 2nd, if you want to get mathematical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And who doesn't?
Okay, my next quick question, mathematical, is if you have a collection of people, what is the minimum number of people so that two of those people would celebrate the same birthday? A collection of people... How many would you need to make the odds about even that two of those people have the same birthday?
Oh, now you changed it.
Yeah, you did change it.
Because I remember hearing this, and it's surprisingly low. It's like 6 or 8, something like that.
I thought it was more like, you're talking about the odds are more than 50-50 that two 50-50. Would share the same birthday.
Yeah, 50-50 that two. What? Well, they don't have the same birth year necessarily.
Right.
They celebrate the same birthday.
Josh, what's your guess?
It's not a guess. It's a vague recollection that it's a shockingly small number. And I was saying 6, 8, or 10, but I think that's even a little low. But it's not much more than that.
That is shockingly low.
It's not that low.
I'm going to guess 31.
Okay.
What we have to remember is that there are 3 or 4 months of the year where the majority of people are born, just because, at least in the United States. So I would say there's an extremely high possibility, and I'll put it in the 90 percentile.
But you need a number of people.
You missed the question.
Yeah, the question was how many people?
How many people would be in a room to give yourself 50% chance? And I don't know if you said this. I'm assuming that, as I heard this long ago, it's divorced from actual empirical reality. So more people born in this month than that month doesn't matter. This is assuming that all birth dates are equally likely.
Then I'll say 25, 30 people, something like that.
Okay, that's it's actually 23. 23 people, it's slightly over 50%. I think something like 50.7% with only 23 people. And it sounds unlikely, but in all the years I taught, I would ask that in my classes of about 30 people. And in one class, in all that time, did it turn out to have to not work?
Well, to not work.
It was amazingly, and it was... But most of my classes were like 30 or 32 or 35. But 23 is all that's required. So
that's interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call and happy new year.
I did not know there'd be math homework today, but thank you, Sacramento.
Oh, wait, next week.
Thank you very much. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel today, that would be Joshua Cosman, who is the writes about classical music on Substack and also does Crossword Puzzle. And Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
All right. Well, this is a short-ish question related to Christmas. I read a piece on how much royalty money people make from writing, the royalties they get from Christmas songs. And as you might guess, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey is the top earner. So the question is, in 2024, how much money did Mariah Carey earn from streaming, the streaming royalties she got for that song? And about how many streams do you think she had?
I couldn't even begin.
Yeah.
And I did hear a podcast about streams on a separate topic. And in order for it to count as a stream, I didn't know they calculated this. It has to be 30 seconds or long. So if you listen to something for 10 seconds or 15 seconds, they don't count it. So that's how they determine who's just surfing or not. Anyway, so how many streams did that song get, All I Want for Christmas Is You? And how much money did Mariah Carey get for performing?
In this running? 1 year.
Yeah, in 24. And start the bidding anyplace.
I don't know. I don't even know how to. Let's say 10 million streams.
It's low.
Okay. Wow.
I'll start there. and I'll add to this. It's very low.
Wow.
Yeah. And you want to take a guess at the money too?
No. I'm very bad with money.
So I'll say 150 million then.
It's more than that.
Oh.
Are we up to half a billion?
We are more than a half a billion. Amazingly enough. Keep Jesus. Going.
I can't even. I literally can't even.
Yeah. It's I will say this, I am shocked. It's not as many as there are Lego elements in the world. Thanks.
So it's not a billion.
It is more than a billion.
Oh, more than a billion.
Yeah.
So Rita said the Legos were 1.1. So we're in.
Well,
between.
No, she was at trillion. We're not in the
trillion. Right. Oh, yeah. Goodness, you're right.
Yeah. But keep going on. It's a lot.
You know,
more
I'm getting that. I'm getting that sense of vertigo, like when you're contemplating the expanses of outer space. I better not.
Well, let's see. We got time to leave it out there. Any? You want to take a wild guess? Here's one stat that I remember hearing. John Phillips, who long retired from the Mamas and Papas and wasn't working. In an interview, he was asked, well, how do you make an income? He said, I make a lot of money from royalties. And this was probably in the 80s. He said, I still make $500,000 a year on the royalties from one song, California Dreaming. I had no idea that there was that kind of money. Wow. So this is a lot more than that. So if you want to
okay.
guess there.
Well, they're not making it off of me, so.
Yeah.
Well, if you listen to Spotify or Apple Music, I think that's, if you subscribe to any of those, that's where they get a penny or two here and there. So we stopped the bidding at a half a billion, and that's not.
No, you said we were over a billion.
We are over a billion. Yeah, that's right. I'll give you that. It's 1.83 billion streams is what she had in 2024. And that led to, well, we'll leave it out there for people to guess the amount of royalty money she got for that.
All right.
Well, I have an alert here that Chris on our email feed here guessed both dry states. So, and they are another, and that if you recall, the question is, what are the two U.S. states with the most dry counties? And he got them both, and they are Kentucky and Arkansas.
It is Kentucky.
Kentucky wow. and Arkansas, yes.
The bourbon capital of the world.
Yeah.
Go yeah. for it.
Wow.
Good for you, Chris. Okay. Oops. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Connie from Florida. I just got scooped on that. That's the reason
I'm
called.
Sorry. Did you have Kentucky and Arkansas?
I did. I was thinking Texas because that's where I first learned about what a dry county was. But when the other caller guessed and you said no, I thought, well, it's got to be the two that go next, and I knew it wasn't Louisiana, so I figured Arkansas.
There's your bell,
Kentucky.
right.
Oh, I'm not a Bell solicitor. That's not important to me. I did have another guess quickly on the foreign novels not originally written in English. What about Hunchback of Notre Dame or Les Miserables?
Yes, Les Miserables is one of them.
Miserables in high school?
Yeah.
Never.
Wow.
There's another long one.
That was the second long novel I ever read, was Les Miserables, yeah.
Was it for school?
All right.
No, I just read it.
I've never seen it assigned in an English class. Yeah. Maybe a French class. Yeah.
Maybe it was the musical that did it.
Yeah.
Dana, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Dana, are there any others in that list of novels that are kind of that epically long?
I would say no.
Okay.
No. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you are Minds of Nada.
Hi, this is David H.C. in Berkeley.
Hi, David.
Hi. I got scooped on Kentucky there, but I'll go for, I think Laura Z. Hobson wrote Gentleman's Agreement.
Correct. Well done.
Yeah.
I wondered if one of the six most common foreign language novels in school was The Stranger by Camus.
That is correct as well.
Right, of course.
Good guess.
Okay.
Excellent.
And I thought maybe that would be a little out of date, but there we go. And and among the common adjectives with nine or more letters, I think excellent would be an excellent choice.
It would be an excellent choice, but it doesn't have to be right.
Okay, and how about marvelous or sickening?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Okay, and let's see. I think where am I? The Police had an album that might be on the Rolling Stone list. I think it starts with the word Zenyatta.
Oh, Zenyatta Mandata is a wonderful, wonderful record by Police, but not on that list.
But not on the list? All right.
No.
And I prefer Carousel to Oklahoma, and I thought it might have won again.
Bet you're right.
Pulitzer and musical.
You know what? Carousel did not win, but since we're running a little late, it is a Rodgers and Hammerstein that no one has guessed.
Oh, it has to be South Pacific.
It's South Pacific.
Of course.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, all right.
Way to go. Get
and
the
my
call
last guess that I'll let you stop is, did Sweeney Todd win?
No, Sweeney Todd did not win. There is a Sondheim on the list.
Thanks. There's a Sondheim on the list.
And of course,
it's Sunday in the Park.
It is Sunday in the Park with George. Very good. 1985.
I created a good impression.
You inspired us. Hey, Josh, is the album we're looking for?
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
does
it.
Does it start with the letter Z?
No, I was just going to say it does not start with Z. It does start with Y.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road would not count.
No.
Why?
Okay.
Can you tell us how old the album is?
Sometime in the mid 60s, I would guess. I have to be honest, I'm not familiar with this record. Go ahead.
So it can't be Yellow Submarine then,
because it's not.
It shouldn't be.
Right.
Hmm. Okay.
And is it a made up word kind of like
actually it's the title is a literary allusion. Ooh. It's drawn from the name of a title of a poem, a play, something. Don't know. I can look all these things up off air, but
we might know when we hear.
All right.
Yeah. All right,
and next call please. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, everyone. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi there. I don't know how I know this, Daryl. Robin Moore, I think, wrote The French Connection.
That is correct. Good job.
Didn't know that.
Good job.
Oh, I know that. Uh-huh. And I thought the best album might be Zooropa by U2, but you said no.
Oh, that's a good guess, too.
Album.
Yeah.
Okay, so the common non-English book, you danced around it. How about Crime and Punishment? I read that in high school.
That is correct. Crime and Punishment.
Wow.
I thought that would be too long. Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved it and still do. How about Don Quixote, though you said no long ones, but.
Not Don Quixote. Not Don Quixote.
And then some of the long adjectives. How about Democratic?
No.
Republican?
No.
Independent?
No.
Political?
Political is on there. Yes, yay. Political is one.
Wow.
Ambiguous?
No.
Or universal?
No.
Okay, I got one, yay. Oh, in the dry county, yeah, Jack Daniels. I did the tour years ago, and that's in a dry county. You can't actually buy Jack Daniels where it's made. I thought that was funny. Okay, for the musicals, how about 1776?
No, that is not the. I don't think that won for best play, and it didn't win the Pulitzer for sure.
I don't know. Or Avenue Q for one of the later ones?
Not Avenue Q.
How about Chicago?
Not Chicago. Okay. I don't think it was considered serious enough.
And then I think that's pretty much it. I got a question about who's considered to have written the first autobiography?
The first autobiography.
Wow.
Would this be in English or this international?
No. Okay. No, not in English.
Boy.
So was this written in Greek or Latin?
Yes, Greek or Latin. I frankly, I'm not sure. I believe probably Latin.
Huh.
Well, we're coming up against
the show.
So, yeah, I guess you just better tell us.
Okay, very famous. It's St. Augustine for Confessions.
Yeah,
and then the follow-up to that was that he was impressed. He saw somebody reading. He writes in Confessions. He talks about seeing another person reading, and he's amazed by something.
Oh, he reads silently.
He reads silently. That's right.
Nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
And then a quick little add-on, which is the first audiobook, which was not. There were audiobooks before, which were recorded by people, for the blind. But
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. We have to go.
Do it later. Okay. Time. Bye. Thank you.
Thanks. All
right. Thank you very much. Okay, time to clean up here.
All right, John Ball wrote a series of crime novels about the adventures of Detective Virgil Tibbs, including In the Heat of the Night.
Right.
Vika Swarup, whose day job was as a diplomat in the Indian government, his first novel also then became the source for Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh.
The alphabetically last album is by Aretha Franklin, and it's called Young, Gifted, and Black.
Ooh.
Oh, that's okay. Me. Josh, okay. Lori.
Royalties. Mariah Carey last year earned $7.34 million in royalties for the playing of All I Want for Christmas Is You, and then the Pulitzer Prize for Drama and Musicals, the two more modern ones with Next to Normal in 2010 and A Strange Loop in 2020. Mm. The one we might have gotten that I remember a little bit is Fiorello in 1960. Fiorello LaGuardia, mayor of New York, and I'm out.
All right. The 50 most common adjectives in English, there are only four. There are nine letters or over, and then the ones, nobody got them. Different, important, political, and international.
All right.
And the only one on the list that people didn't get out of the 50 most assigned books not originally written in English in American high schools, Dante's Inferno.
Really?
Yeah, really. Anyway.
That's not a novel.
My thanks to Josh Crosman, Lori Fisher.
The poem.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks, everybody. Thank you to Damian D. Mind for having the board and phones. Have a great week, everybody. And have a wonderful New Year's, and we will catch you in 2026. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Well.